The opioid epidemic is showing no signs of slowing down. Maybe that will change, considering how our response to it has quickly grown, as President Trump mentioned this past Tuesday, how New Jersey has instituted $200 million in programs, and other states are following that lead. While reading academic studies and reviewing polls tell some of the story about how opioid abuse attacks and takes down people's lives, they don't present the heart and the soul of the reality. Next guest's book does do that. Her book brings you the story of her son, who had so much which addiction was very eager to take away. Her family's journey will serve as the much-needed awareness families across the nation need today. Her book is Hat Tricks from Heaven, the story of an athlete in his own prison of addiction. And here with that story is Kate Genovese. Thank you for being here today, Kate.
Oh, thank you, Chris.
And
nice to be here.
Kate's website, we can get her book and more information about her story, KateGenoveseBooks.com. And yes, we do have a link over at our website. And the book focuses on your son, Gino. Give us a look into Gino's life before the darkness hit. What was he all about? What were his goals? What was his passion for life?
Yeah, you know, Gino was always a good kid. He was full of life. He was fun. He had lots of friends. His cousins just loved him. His aunts and uncles. I mean, you know, he was just really loved. And one of his passions was hockey at a very early age. He had seen his brother playing, and he decided to follow that route. And he started at 5 years old, and he proceeded to go up the ladder. You know, he struggled a couple of times because he was overweight, so he made himself go on a diet at 9 years old. And he was so good, he lost quite a bit of weight and got on some good teams because you got to be fast in hockey. So he was wonderful, even through some of his addiction. But that took a grasp on him. You know, he had a monkey on his back. And when he had that monkey, meaning the heroin, he was like a different person. He wasn't our Gino. He turned into somebody who had this craving that he just couldn't control. He needed a fix. And then he'd stop for a while and he'd be the Gino that we knew, back to work, funny, comical, had a girlfriend. You know, his job was important. He had a company car. His boss tried to help him. He did tell his boss what was going on, and they gave him a couple of shots before they had to let him go. And he was just basically loved. And so when this happened, we were pretty shocked at first, and then we had to face reality that he needed help. So he was living in Worcester, Massachusetts, where he went to college, and we discussed it with him. He came back home with us, and it was kind of, I hate to say it, but it was a downhill from there. Being with us was really no good. He just tried to manipulate, as addicts do,
right?
And, get his way and try to put my husband and I against each other. And, you know, he did what addicts did. He stole. He stole from us. He stole from his brother and sister before we knew what was really going on. And he had trouble with the law and ended up in jail for a month. And then he went on to home arrest, where he did stay with us, and he did try. He did try. He did get some help. And sometimes he was the old Chris, like I said, and sometimes not. He just knew when he was high. He refused to go to treatments. We tried several times, and when he mentioned it, he'd just take off. He'd take off to a friend's house and stay there until things cooled down and come back. And it was a roller coaster ride. Truly, that's what it was.
I want to jump in here and go back in the story, too, because what the addiction came off of, ironically, his passion being hockey. Because of his playing hockey, he had, I believe, a total of 6 operations on his knees. And,
yes,
and the
yes.
And the prescription pain medications that they gave Gino was the catalyst. At that, I mean, how fast did you see, because you were also a trained nurse, How quickly
right.
did a controlled medication turn into an addiction for Gino?
Well, he was getting prescriptions and legal, so he got them on and off through his high school and college years. But one time in his junior year, after he had shoulder surgery, he was 4 weeks into recovery, and he had come home because he was living at a boarding school, and he came home and said, before I go back to school, I need to go to the doctors and get another prescription. He was honest about it. And I said, Gino, you've been on this for 4 weeks. No, you need to get off that. You just need Motrin now. You're moving around just fine. And he hemmed and hawed, and he took the bus to the doctors, and I met him there, and I ended up having an argument with the doctor. I just said, look, addiction runs in my family. And not only that, he's had it for 4 weeks. He doesn't need it. And the doctor scolded me, pretty much. He said, don't you realize how painful shoulder surgery is? And Gino is not an addict. He said that specifically. And I backed down because I felt intimidated, to be honest with you, when I backed down. But what I did is I called the school nurse. I told her what was going on, and she took control of the meds. So I had an idea that something could be up, or maybe it was just a one-time thing. I was in denial myself. I didn't want to think that this was going to happen to him.
Well, no, and especially if someone is so high on life, you think, why would they want to fall prey to something like opioid abuse? We're talking with Kay Genovese. Her book, Hat Tricks from Heaven, The Story of an Athlete in His Own Prison of Addiction. KayGeneviseBooks.com is Kay's website. We can get a copy of your book. I highly recommend it because especially, too, you just heard that part of Gino's story. We talk about how the addict has to step forward. The family has to step forward. It's the medical profession, which is often left out of the equation, too. The quick-to-medicate philosophy that too many physicians and health experts have is just adding to the problem. They're becoming part of the problem rather than the solution that they should be. From what you talked about Gino, too, and his highs and lows, it sounds like Gino knew he was in trouble, and up until a later point that most of us probably could have had, he still had some fight left in him.
Yeah, he did have fight left in him. He was he was on house arrest, and he was supposed to get off that May, and he had a job lined up. He was all set to, you know, really try and get back to work. And suddenly the judge and the probation officer decided he wasn't ready. He wasn't ready to go out into the world and work full time. He needed another 3 months on house arrest, and that just brought him right down. He just was so discouraged. But nevertheless, he said, okay, I got to do this. And he went immediately. He went out and he found a job that he could work and follow the rules of the sheriff's office. And that being he could work and he had to go give urine tests to make sure he wasn't on drugs. So he could work an evening shift. So he went and got a job 2 to 10. And he was doing well. And suddenly he must have just decided to get high one night because he had been sober for a good month. And he probably, I can only guess, did too much and overdosed by accident. So, you know, he had a lot left in him, yes, I have to say. He wanted to live. He wanted to get better, I believe. And so it was a shock to everybody when this happened.
We see, like here in New Jersey, for example, former Governor Chris Christie instituted programs totaling over $200 million for opioid addiction, and state after state doing likewise. And yeah, certainly that's part of the answer, where you have the outlets and the programs. But what's the role in the lives of the people in the lives of an addict? What do they need to be doing as opposed to, I mean, it's fine to say, boy, I hope you do better. I hope you win. I hope this. I say this. There's a teaching from the Bible that words without actions are basically empty words.
Yeah, you mean as far as family goes and friends?
Exactly.
How do they react to it? Well, I believe it's a family disease, first of all. And you have to have some, you know, you have to have a balance. You have to have, I believe, tough love. You have to set rules. We had a contract with him with things he could and could not do. And my husband had a little bit of a difficult time with that as well, because one of the rules was if you do drugs, you got to leave the house. And so my husband would say, well, where is he going to go? And I don't know. He's 29 years old. Let him decide. You know, that was how I felt. He has to wake up. And also, his friends had to learn not to give him money, because he would borrow money from his friends and say, I'll pay you back, and he never paid back. And same with family members. So there's some toughness there. You know, it's just tough love, as far as I'm concerned. And it's okay for parents, when the kids are teenagers, they want their privacy. They're getting older. They want their door shut, or their door locked to the bedroom. I am so against that. I think it's your house, and you have a right to go in there. In our case, there was drugs in his room, and we didn't go in there because we were just following some privacy rules he wanted. But, you know, that could save somebody's life if you found some needles in there, or all of a sudden you see it and say, oh, my God, I got to get this kid help, like sit him down, or her, because there's plenty of girls that are addicts, sit them down and say, what's going on? How can I help you? Because this is a disease. So there has to be a softness there as well. You know, you wouldn't yell at somebody with cancer or diabetes.
That's true.
So, yeah, I felt I had to be gentle with Gino at first. Like, let's sit down, buddy. We were really close. We were very close. And we had long conversations. I don't think there was much he didn't tell me other than the drugs. So, you know, he would talk to me, and he would say, I can't stop, Mom. It's too hard. I can't. And I would say, then we got to get you in a facility where you can go and get better. And I had gotten some advice from a girlfriend who was a nurse and got addicted to drugs from back injuries. And she had to put herself away at the age of 50 for 9 months. She had to get away from family, friends, the hospital, everything. And she advised me that that's probably the best road for Gino, if you can make him do that. So we discussed that. I said the word 9 months and he almost died, so I probably should not have mentioned 9 months. I should have said something a little less, not to scare him. But regardless, he wouldn't go. You know, he said, Mom, I've got to make this decision on my own. You know, at this point, he was 29. I'll go to AA meetings. I'll go to NA meetings. So I think that's an encouragement that friends can do, that family can do. You have to just keep an eye out for the drug cabinet. That's what families can do. Hide the drugs. Put them in a safe. Lock them in your car. Keep them on you. I had a girlfriend from Al-Anon, which is a family support group, walk around the house with her pocketbook 24 hours a day. She was too afraid of her son stealing because he took credit cards and spent thousands. So that was her way of coping with things and keeping him, her son, away from her money. So, it's a difficult disease. I think it's one of the worst diseases to have. I said to my husband once, I almost wished he had cancer. At least I knew what to do. At least I had felt like I had some control, or I could help him in a certain way. But with a disease of addiction, it's a roller coaster ride, and it's not a fun one, because there's yelling, there's screaming, there's stealing, there's lying, anything that comes out of an addict's mouth when they're high is a lie, as far as I'm concerned. That's my experience. So I don't know what to say. I mean, I gave some advice in my book. I made many mistakes. One of them was he was very, very sick. We couldn't get him. He was on MassHealth, which is free insurance, and it was winter time, and we could not get him a bed in a facility unless we spent probably $10,000 a week. So we would call every day at this one place, McLean Hospital, because sometimes they just had beds available, so we would call. And he was out of drugs, he was out of money, and no place to go. He begged me. The pity I felt, the sadness, the look in his eyes. He was like a little kid that just was begging for help. Like, please, just do something, Mom. So I got some money, and I bought him drugs. I took him to Worcester, where his dealer was, and I bought him drugs. And I felt so guilty after that. Never did it again. My two girlfriends from Al-Anon, I told them, and they said, do you realize if you get caught, you could lose your nursing license or go to jail? And I wasn't even thinking like that. I was thinking of my son and getting him out of his misery. And, you know, so you should never do that. I was doing something illegal as well. So that was one of my mistakes. And hopefully people listening who have an addict in their life won't do something like that.
And that's why I think, too, that you really should get Kate's book because, as I said in the introduction, we see the during and the after way too easily, but the process leading up to all that is where the blanks have to get filled in. And Kate, with her book, Hat Tricks from Heaven, The Story of an Athlete in His Own Prison of Addiction, does indeed supply you with that knowledge through firsthand, very difficult experiences, and it'll further empower you to help the person you care about. Or if you see yourself, if you had the fight left in you like Gino had at certain points, and you see yourself heading into that darkness, I think Kate's book will help you directly as well. You can learn more about it and, more importantly, get your copy of Hat Tricks from Heaven at KateGenovesBooks.com. And Kate, no one is obligated to do what you did, but we are fortunate that you did do what you did because I think your work, your effort, your compassion for the human being that all of us have, no matter how deep into addiction we happen to fall into, is going to change a lot of things, certainly for the better. So thank you for doing that, and thank you for being here today.
Well, thank you so much, Chris. It was really nice to be on and tell my experience and talk about Hat Tricks from Heaven. I appreciate that.